Amen. All right, I want us to look this morning at John chapter 3, if you'll open God's Word with you this morning. John chapter 3. And for those of you, this may be your first time with us. We have been in a series here for the last several weeks about knowing that you know that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. And the reason is because this has just been so much on my heart for our church. The Lord warned us in Scripture, and He said that there will be many. And for God to say many, that means a lot. And the Lord said, on that day, when people stand before Him, and all time on earth has ended, He said, there will be many that will say to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, there will be many who profess that they know Him. There will be many who profess, if you ask them, they would say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And yet Jesus said, I will say to many on that day, depart from me. I have never known you. Not that I did know you, but I don't know you anymore. But I have never known you. That's troubling. That there are people who believe when they die, they're going to go to heaven. And yet Christ said, many will call me Lord in that day who do not even know me. They do not know me. And that's why Paul came back in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. And listen to what he said. He said, examine yourself. Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. And so what God is saying is, there is a way that you can know that you are truly born again, that Jesus is yours. And that's what captivates me this morning. That's what I want to do for you. So I want us to read, first of all, let's lay the groundwork. Jesus is talking, of course, to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. This is a chapter with the most familiar verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, right? So it's all about salvation. That's the subject of chapter 3, being saved. Now listen to what he said, beginning in verse 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? So that whoever, what? Believes in Him will have eternal life. All right, today's message is so important, and it's important for one particular reason. It is because God teaches us in Scripture that there are a lot of people who believe that they know Jesus. They believe they're all right for heaven. They believe they're all right for eternity. But the Bible says they're not. They're not ready in the biblical sense of belief. They haven't believed so that they are saved. That's what God is talking about. There are a lot of people, the Bible says, that are going to miss heaven. And I want you to listen to why. Because their belief is an intellectual belief in Jesus. In other words, it's here. But they do not have a relational belief here in the heart. It's here, but it's not here. And the Bible says, from here to here makes all the difference in the world. From here to here, it's what you want. You have to believe here but it needs to travel all the way to here. Many people I'm looking at this morning, and we'll look in the next two services, have, just like me, said a prayer. But the point is, not so much did you say the prayer. Have you said a prayer? The main question that needs to be in your heart and mind that you need to settle this Easter is, did my saying a prayer do anything? Did my saying a prayer change me day to day? Or has there been no change in my life? Look at the truth. If you look in your life point outline, let me give you this first truth. There is a difference between a head knowledge about Jesus and a heart commitment to Jesus Christ. And so the question is, I want you to know when you leave here today, you're going to make heaven. I want you to understand how you're going to know that. And I want you to ask the question, how does my life show I'm going to go to heaven? What is the evidence that I am born again? Now, I'll tell you what many people would say. Many people would say, Brother John, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved because I believe in God. I really do. I know there is a God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe Christ existed and was born in Bethlehem. I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Now listen, each one of those statements is a biblical statement. God is. Jesus Christ was born, and Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Those are all true statements. Here's what I want you to understand. Do you realize, it might surprise you to know, that believing that Jesus is God, believing that Christ was born on Christmas Day, believing that Jesus Christ was crucified by the Romans on a cross and died there, do you realize none of those things on their own meets biblical requirements for being saved? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. James 2, 19. Now just listen. Do you think it's enough just to believe that there is one God? Even the demons believe and tremble. Satan and every demon in hell believes Jesus is God. Every demon. There are no atheists in hell. There are no atheists in the demonic kingdom. Every one of them believe God is, believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin. They believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But not one of the demons is going to make heaven, right? None of them. The demons of hell believe in Jesus Christ, but Jesus doesn't have their love. Every demon believes in Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ does not have their heart. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they are not dedicated to Jesus. They believe in Him, but they don't follow Him. They believe in Jesus Christ. Listen, but Jesus Christ does not make any difference in how those demons live out their days. Not one. Makes no difference. And so that brings me, let me just answer and get us to the place to where we can know that we know that we're born again and that we're truly saved. How do we do that? Look in your notes. Number one, the necessity of biblical belief. I want to just unwrap that. I think about a verse apart from our text. It's John 3:16. We didn't get down to that, but look at that. You know it well. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, the Greek word there, and I'm not going to get into it, but it is the word pisteuo. And it is more than just knowing about something so that you believe that it is real. Let me just kind of bring it down to where we are. I think probably everyone in this building knows about Tom Cruise. You know about him because you've probably seen his movies, Mission Impossible, all of that, and Jack Reacher and War of the Worlds, you know, pick something. Those are the first ones that came to my mind. But here's what I want you to know. You know about him but you don't know him personally. You know Tom Cruise exists, but if you walked up to him, you might say, I know you, you're Tom Cruise. But Tom Cruise would say, and you are? I've never seen you in my life. I don't know who you are. All right, this is the point that the Bible is making, beloved. One day, Jesus said, I will say to many who will say, I know you. You died on the cross for my sins. You are God the Son. I know you. I've done things in your name. I was a member of a church. I gave to missions. And Jesus said, I will say to them in that day, to get away from me, I don't even know who you are. I don't know you. I've never met you. There is no relationship between you and me. Beloved, that's troubling. That makes you tremble. It ought to. Here's the insight in your outline. A lot of people in churches and out of churches believe Jesus exists, but they have never given their life to him. They've never done that. Names on the roll, been through the baptismal waters, come every now and then on Easter and Christmas, they're creasters. That is funny, and it really is. But you know what? Creasters makes my mouth go dry. There are many who will say to me, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I don't even know you. A lot of you probably know a woman by the name of Catherine Green. You may know a lot of things about her, but you don't know her like I know her. I know Catherine intimately. She's a mystery to me. After 47 years. Now, I'm not a mystery to her because she's deep and I'm shallow, but I tell you what I know. I know that I love her. And I know that when I say I believe in her, it means I not only know she exists, it means I trust Catherine Green. It means I rely on her. It means I am committed to her and to her alone. It means I know what would grieve her. And I live every day in my life seeking to live in such a way that the way I live pleases her. Does that make sense? I know her intimately in a way I don't know anybody else. Because on May the 21st, next month, we will have traveled together 47 years. We live with each other every day. Every day we talk. Every day we draw near to each other. That's what the Bible means about knowing Jesus. Biblically, when anyone says, I believe in Jesus Christ, it means a whole lot more than just knowing he exists. It means, and I wrote this down, listen, it means your life is committed to his ways. It means your heart is first for him above all else. It means you have drawn a line in the sand, and come hell or high water, you are a follower, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ first. And it isn't just words for you. It is evident by how you live your daily life, because worship the Lord God is a priority for you, and obedience to the Word of God is a driving force in your daily life. You do what you do, and you do not do what you do, not because it's what Mama taught you, but because it's what the God and the Savior of your soul requires of you. Because you know each other. You are intimate with each other. You and Christ commune together day in, day out. It never ceases because you're one with Him. So this Easter, the challenge is, what is the evidence, not historically, not, well, I can remember when I walked the aisle. I walked the aisle at 7. That was nothing. Not saying if you did, it's nothing. But I walked at 7. It was nothing. I got dunked. I was in, but I didn't belong for 12 more years. So I'm not talking about historically. I'm not talking about when you walked the aisle. I'm not talking about when you went in the baptismal waters. I'm talking about, what is the evidence today? What is the evidence right now? Look at your life. What is the evidence you know Jesus Christ? What is the evidence? Where is it? Because your eternity rests on the answer, beloved. And number two this morning, God wants us to know that the door to heaven does close. It closes. Easter is about knowing that you're saved. It's about understanding the invitation of God to come and to be saved and to call heaven your home. But here's what I want you to know biblically, that invitation is not indefinite. John chapter 12, turn there if you will. John chapter 12 in God's Word. John 12, verse 32. I want to read through verse 36. Our Lord said, and if I be lifted up, meaning if I am crucified from the earth, I will draw all men to me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we've heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. How do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up or crucified? What Son of Man is this? Then Jesus said to them, now listen to what he said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have light, what? While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the sons of light. These things, now watch, spoke Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Here's what our Lord just said. Jesus just told these people, believe while you can. Believe while you can. And then what did Jesus do? He hid himself. Why? So that they could not find him. For what purpose? Jesus wanted them to know what it is like to want to know where he is and not be able to find him. John 12, verse 37, the next verse. Even though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Listen, saying, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In other words, who has believed what we've been preaching? Who has received it? Who has acted on it? He said, therefore, because they didn't, they could not believe. Because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, he said, believe while you can believe. Enter the light while the light is available. Why? Because here's what God is saying. The time to believe is now. Why? Because the Lord says the opportunity to believe can be withdrawn by the Lord. And to illustrate it, he said, the prophecy Isaiah came to pass. They wouldn't believe, therefore they couldn't believe. And what it simply means is there came a time when God closed the day of grace. He shut it to them. He said, you've rejected me, and now I've rejected you. Here's the truth in your outline. Jesus always extended his love to lost men and women, but always telling them, this journey is ministry, there was a limit to the offer. John 7, verse 33, if you want to look there, verse 34. Then said Jesus to them, yet a little while I am with you. In other words, I'm with you only for a time. And then I go to him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, listen, there you cannot come. Listen, what God is saying is we have to understand the door of invitation to heaven isn't always open to every individual. The invitation to be saved is every day, 24/7, 365. The invitation goes out. Whosoever will may come. The invitation is out. But God is saying the invitation is not out to everybody. There comes a time when we have said no to him and no to him and no to him when God says no to us. It's an odd thing, and yet it's the Bible. It's what God said just before he sent the flood. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Meaning what? Meaning there comes a time for those who sit on the fence of indecision. They know the truth. They know what is real. God has worked on their heart, and they have said no. And he said, there comes a time that you have rejected the gospel to the point that God runs out of patience and he closes the door of invitation and the Holy Spirit leaves you. Listen, you cannot come unless God calls you. Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Father draw him, and I will at the last day raise him up. Amen? You do not come unless God calls. Why? Because we're dead in trespasses and sin. You ever try to talk to a dead person? You can't do it. It's a one-way conversation. We are dead to him. And I cannot believe until God calls me. And he calls people. And people say no. And God is long-suffering. But there comes a time when God says, he gives up on you. You said, Brother Green, you're scaring me. Good. It's just one more thing. Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord according to all he has given us, his great goodness toward the house of Israel. You know what Isaiah is talking about? Isaiah is talking about God being loving and merciful and kind and gracious and gentle and open-hearted, a savior for his people. The angel of his presence went with Israel in the wilderness. He protected them. He guarded them. He guided them. And then you come to verse 10. Now listen. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. In three verses, God turned from being loving and gracious and merciful and kind, and he became an enemy to them. And the Bible is saying God's mercy has limits. There is a point where God turned on them for destruction. Why? Because they rejected and rejected and rejected. The Israel that came out of Egypt believed God was real, but they died in the wilderness under God's judgment. Here's the truth. Come to Christ while the door is open. That's the message. And the door is open. Come while it's open. Number three, let me close with this. Simply believe. What do I need to do? Simply believe. Now, look at John chapter 3. To the naked eye, to my eye and yours, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Who is he? He is an elevated man. He has high status. He's an expert in religion. Historically, he was one of the three wealthiest men in Jerusalem. He was a man of influence. He was a man that held position in the Supreme Court of his day. Nicodemus was a high achiever, a go-getter. Now, that's what you see in your eye. What do we see biblically? Biblically, Jesus is talking to a lost man. He's talking to a very religious, Bible-versed, lost, outside the kingdom, without eternal life sinner. That's who he's talking to. And Nicodemus is troubled. He knows his life is a sham. and he is fearful of meeting God in everything that he's doing. He's so religious, he's so fastidious about doing everything just right, and yet deep inside, he's like, I don't even know I'm going to make it. I don't have this assurance I'm going to make heaven. So look in your life point outline. Jesus begins by answering the question that he knows is in Nicodemus's heart. So he just comes out and said, let me tell you what you're asking. Look at his question. He said, what can I do to make heaven? That was the question of Nicodemus. And Jesus' answer is this. There isn't anything you can do. What can I do? Do? There's nothing you can do. Look at verse 3 again in John chapter 3. God is saying in salvation, you and I make no contribution to that. Jesus said, you must be what? Born again. Born from above. Born by the Spirit of God. Why does Jesus use the analogy of birth? Let me ask you a question. How many of you decided, all right, my birthday is March the 25th, all right? I had nothing to do with that date. Nobody asked my opinion. I'd much rather have been born in October, I guess. I don't know. Why March the 25th? That was chosen for me. I didn't even decide I wanted to be born. Alf and Weston Green got married. Love happened. And here I am. They didn't ask me, you want to be born? I wasn't even part of that conversation. Why did Jesus say, you must be born again? Because Christ wants you to know you don't have a thing to do with this. Let me tell you something. Some of you are thinking in your mind, I chose Christ. No, you didn't. You came because you were called. You answered a call. You must be born again. The only way I came into the kingdom is God came after me. I made no contribution to the whole issue. I don't get baptized to be saved. I don't join a church to be saved. I am born again through the work of the Holy Spirit of God who comes and works on me. Jesus said, you don't make any contribution to being born again, but you need to be born again. And I am the only one that can do it. So look at your life. What does God say is the only thing you can do to be saved? Simply believe what he tells you. That's your part. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? That whosoever, what? Believes in him will have eternal life. All right, how are you saved? Look at your notes. Number one, first of all, you got to elevate Jesus above all others. You elevate Jesus above the church, Jesus above baptism, Jesus above good works. You put Jesus above everything. He is the only one who has come down from heaven. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus is co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord of all who reign on earth now and forever. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is the source of truth. Jesus and he alone is life. John 14:6, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not Baptist, not baptism, not Church of Christ, not Methodist, not Episcopalian. Nope, none of that. Now I know I said Episcopalian. My mind got ahead of my tongue. Sorry. I'm not making fun of Episcopalians. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no name under heaven whereby a man must be saved, only in the name of Christ, believing in Christ alone, Christ alone, Christ alone. That's why the early church fathers said, sola Christus, sola fide, in Christ alone, by faith alone is a man saved. Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, it's a reference to Moses in Numbers chapter 21. You can look there a little bit later. Israel was disobedient to God, and God in anger sent poisonous snakes into the camp of Israel. When people were bitten, they died. They didn't last long. They started swelling. They died. There was nothing they could do. They cried out to God for forgiveness, and God mercifully told Moses, he said, you get a tall pole, you make a bronze serpent, make a snake out of bronze. And he said, I want you to put it on top of the pole, and I want you to put the pole at a place where it is high above the camp so that anybody in the camp will be able to see where it is. And he says, when anyone is bitten, if they will believe in what I have said, if they will believe that if they look to the serpent on the pole, I will cure them. And if they believe that, and if they look, I will save them from death. And the serpent on the pole saved people from the poisonous venom, just like Christ on the cross saves you and me from eternal death. You don't do anything. There's nothing you can do. Death is in you, and it will claim you, and it will pull you to hell at your last breath unless you look to the cross. You look to the cross. You look to the cross. Why? Because it is a picture of the serpent on the pole. And when they looked, they had to believe. This is what the Father said. He said, if I would look, I will live. And the Father has said, if you will look to Jesus, you will live. Look in your life point outline. God commands, just look and you will live. Look only to my Son on the cross. Lift him up as your only hope. Verse 15, if I be lifted up, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Whoever believes, whoever believes, whoever believes. That is the heart of the gospel of Easter. And the Bible says, call on Christ while it is day, for the night comes when no man can be saved. Now I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. This morning, I would invite you to make a decision for you to say yes to the work of God in your heart. You're going to respond if you've never done it. Maybe there's somebody here and you know your name's on a roll somewhere, but you know it doesn't mean anything. And you don't want to leave here today without knowing that you know you're going to heaven. What does that mean? It means you look to the cross and you say, Lord, I want to be saved. And I realize that means that I need to turn my life over to you. I want you in my life. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I turn my back on the things of this world that are against you. I want to follow you. I want to say yes to you. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if that's in your heart, then I want you to pray with me. You just pray a prayer like this. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. I know he died for me, not just for the world, but for me. And I give you my life. God, I want to be saved. Lord, save me. Change me. I want you. I need you. And I give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do. I trust Jesus as my only hope of heaven. And I thank you for giving me salvation and giving me a home in heaven. I'm yours. I will do what you want me to do. I'll live a life for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you this morning, if you prayed with me, you pull out that Connect card in the chair in front of you. I want you to print your name on there, and I want you to give us a phone number and let us know what decision you